I have noticed that we're not exactly going in order, and I don't remember why. I was just looking at my notes from the last time I taught Bishul, like in Camp Cayley, and this is the order I went in, so this is the order I'm going in now. I'm not really sure why we're doing Sif Dalet before Sif Gimel, but that's what we're doing. All right, so we're going to, after we do Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, which is what's on tap for now, we're then going to go back to Bishul Bechama and stuff like that. So that we are going back to that, because, you know, there are a lot of very relevant sugyas, you know, very relevant shailas that come up in relation to Bishul Bechama as well, and it's obviously sobistic in terms of just the definition of Bishul, but for whatever reason, we're doing Bishul Achar Bishul first. I don't know why. Okay, so funny thing about Bishul Achar Bishul, or the concept of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, is that the phrase Ein Bishul Achar Bishul does not come up in the Mishnah or the Gemara. Neither the Mishnah nor the Gemara ever formulates the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. But the source is a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Shabbos Kuf Mem Hei, Kol Shabba B'chamin Mei Erev Shabbos, Shorin Oso B'chamin B'Shabbos. V'kol Shalova B'chamin Mei Erev Shabbos, Matich Loso B'chamin B'Shabbos. If something was soaked in hot water on Friday, meaning Bishul, you can soak it in hot water again on Shabbos. Bishul, Achar Bishul. So you're allowed to do, you're allowed to cook it again if it was previously cooked, because that's not called cooking. And therefore, Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul. That's the simple reading of the Mishnah. And, you know, the second half is that Kol Shaloba B'chad Me'er B'Shabbos Madich Lo Sabachad B'Shabbos, that if it was never cooked, so then you can't put it directly into hot water, you can only be Madich, you can only pour hot water over it. We're going to get to that when we discuss Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Yuri Kli Rishon, and all of that. But that's not really relevant to Bishul Achar Bishul. What's relevant to Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is that first half of the sentence. Now, the classic approach is the way we just read it. And the one who formulates this rule is the Mordechai Masech HaShabbos and Os Shin Beis. The Mordechai writes, Pirish Arvilezer mi mitz mi kan de Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That you see from this Mishnah, very clear, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Shulchan Aruch Shin Yud Ches Sif Dalid Mishabur Sikot Lam Gimel clearly assume that there is such a klal that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Shulchan Aruch says that only liquids may not be recooked, but you may recook a solid because of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, and we'll discuss that as well, the difference between liquids and solids, and does everyone agree to that difference between liquids and solids, and why there's a difference between liquids and solids. But we passing that, at the very least, with the solid food, once it's already cooked, you already grilled your piece of chicken cutlet and it's already fully cooked, it is not a violation of Bishul to put it on the hot plate on Shabbos. It's not a violation of Bishul to expose it to heat on Shabbos. Tosa Rush and Kuf Mem Hei Amud Beis says that that can't be what the Mishnah is telling me. Tosa Rush says that, you know, I understand the Mordechai says, oh, Mikan, that ain't Bishul Achar Bishul. Says Tosa Rush, that's so obvious that ain't Bishul Achar Bishul. How could it be that that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? It's a Metzius that there's Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. It can't possibly be the Chiddush of Mishnah. What, do you mean to tell me that one would have a Havamina, that if you have a fully cooked piece of chicken and you expose it to heat, that that's a violation of Bishul? That would be called Bishul? Bishul means you're making a qualitative change in the item. You're not doing anything qualitatively different to the item. So there's a way that would be considered Bishul. Why would you think that would be considered Bishul? No, you would never refer to heating a cooked item as cooking. You know, sometimes, you know, like a man would call that as cooking. Yes, you know, a guy said, I cooked myself dinner. What do you mean you cooked yourself dinner? I took the leftovers from all the stuff my wife cooked and I put it in the microwave for 40 seconds and, you know, cooked myself. But they, people who actually know what cooking means don't refer to that as cooking. So there's no way. That's not called cooking, says those rush. So what is the Mishnah telling me if it's such a milsa de pshita? So the Mishnah must be telling me that you can soak a cooked food for a very long time until it totally dissolves. That's the Mishnah. So what the Mishnah is telling me that it's obviously not going to be an issue of Bishul, but you're allowed to dissolve it by soaking it and letting it dissolve entirely. What's the chiddush there, and what is it about dissolving? Okay, that's the Tosa Rush. You have to figure that out. But that's
maybe it's a micro dover kasha thing.
Yeah, meaning a different kind of qualitative change, right? Meaning that it's some sort of bishul, but a marpa dabar kasha kind of bishul, as opposed to a making ra'ui la achila kind of bishul, which is interesting. Meaning that's crossing the categories a little bit. But so says the Tosa Rav. But be that as it may, we normally assume what it says in the Mordechai that from Rav Lozman Mitz that in bishul achar bishul. And that's what we derive from the Mishnah. Now, the Rambam is a little tricky. The Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes, "Hamavashel al ha'ur." I try to be careful to say "ur" and not "or," because if you say "or" means light, "or" means fire. And there's a guy that every single time I say "or" in a Daf Yomi Shir, he immediately emails me during the Shir. He immediately emails me that it's "or," it's not "or." You know how to read Hebrew. So, Hamavashel al ha'ur. I'm training myself. Dover shayim mevushal kol tzarchem. If you like, there are things like I'm afraid to say. You know, like when that guy's in the room, like you can't quote a Maritzchias. Who's Maritzchias? It's there's some other way. There's some academic way to pronounce it or whatever. So anyway, but the hamevushal al or dover shayim mevushal kol tzarchem al or dover shayim mevushal kol tzarchem. If someone cooks on a fire that which was already fully cooked, oh dover shayno tzarch bishul. Also an important line that we discussed, right? Or something that does not require bishul. Potter always means potter avalasim idrabanan. So it sounds like the Rambam holds that it's usur to do bishul achar bishul. Ein achinami, there may be such a rule of ein bishul achar bishul, but that's only on the daraisa level. But bishul achar bishul is going to be a problem on the drabanan level, meaning even leaving out the other isurim drabanan of achzara and nesina lechadchila and atmana and all those other things that may or may not apply. There's a fundamental bishul problem, it sounds like, from the Rambam, to cook again that which has already been cooked, but that bishul problem is only a bishul on the Rabbanan level. That's a simple reading of the Rambam. It's just very difficult. Yeah.
The Rambam seems to group something that was already cooked and something that doesn't require bishul.
We'll have to get to that as well. Right. Meaning to say...
Are they not two totally different categories?
So we discussed this, no? That depends how you define the malach of bishul to begin with, right? If it's to make something edible, right? You know, then it's already edible, right? Now the Egle Tal in Meleches Ofer, Os Yutas Ches and Tes, Yutas Ches and Tes. Says the Rambam also holds in bishul achar bishul. Pater avol aser doesn't mean bishul. Pater avol aser means pater avol aser mishum achzara. That there's an isra of there's a separate isra mitrabanan that you're not allowed to be machzir something back onto the fire unless it's garuf v'katam, unless the fire is covered or the coals are swept out of the oven or whatever. So you're not allowed to be machzir food onto a fire even if it's fully cooked. So that's what the Rambam means. He's not talking midin bishul. He's talking midin achzara, not midin bishul. The Rambam wasn't talking about some new bishul midrabanan that we weren't familiar with. It's achzara midrabanan, which we're very familiar with, which would mean that when the Rambam says that it's patra v'lasar, it means unless you have the tanai achzara. That if you fulfill all the conditions necessary to allow you to do atzar, because there are conditions that you can fulfill that allow you to do atzar, then it will be mutter. Then it won't even be patra v'lasar. Then it will be mutter. That's how the Egle Tal in Meleches Ofer seems to read this Rambam. Rabbi Willick has two problems with this. Rabbi Willick raises two issues with this. First issue Rabbi Willick has with this is that if you're looking for the halachos of achzara in Hilcha Shabbos, you will in the Rambam, you would look in Perek Gimel of Hilcha Shabbos. Over here, this is Perek Tes. Perek Tes of Hilcha Shabbos discusses Dine Bishul. So the Rambam's going to go and tell me that if you are Mevashel, that which was already Mevushel, it's an Isser Midrabanan, and you want to tell me that Isser Midrabanan is an Isser Hachzara Midrabanan? That belongs in Perek Gimel. If it's in Perek Tes, that seems to be an indication that it's an Isser of Bishul Midrabanan. I wasn't particularly moved by that question. Why not?
What is he supposed to say? He can't say that it's mutter the Rambam because it's not. There's a different meaning. I don't even really understand what.
Meaning he's trying to tell me a din and bishul also. What's the din and bishul? The potter part, the avol aser part. You're right. That belongs in Perek Gimel. But the potter part, the fact that you're not chayiv for it, that belongs here. Meaning it's a din d'oraisa that you're not chayiv for bishul for cooking it. So that's correct. It belongs here. In a chinami, there's a din, there may be a din derabanan that it's called that it's an isra of achzara midrabanan. So he has to be accurate, so he keeps it accurate by saying pater, you know, instead of mutter, because it's mutter on a darais level, but that's not accurate. So he has to use the word pater, but it's not misplaced. It's in the correct location. So I didn't really understand that question. The fact that. Because the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, he has Dinei Achzara in Parak Gimel.
And he says over there that.
Of course, a food that's Mevushal called Tzarcho, subject to Achzara, of course. Right? So it's he's just being accurate describing the Din D'Oraisa. There's also a discussion a little bit about whether you can be Medayik from placement of the Rambam. You know, where the what you can be Medayik from where the Rambam places things. I've heard from Rav Asher Weiss many times that very often the Rambam will put things as they would naturally come up, meaning he'll put things next to each other when one would naturally come up in the context of the other halachos. So very often it's not based on the Yesod Hadin, it's based on what, you know, the Rambam was writing a book that should be easy to use, that people should know where to find things. So you know, it's more based on the way life naturally runs rather than necessarily the Yesod Hadin. I don't know. It seems that many other Talmidei Chacham do not understand that way. Many people make the Yukim in the Yesod Hadin based on the placement of the Rambam. But that's what Kach Shamati from Rav Asher Weiss on several occasions. Okay. But you don't need that cash. I mean, you don't even need to say like Rav Asher Weiss. Over here, it's right. It belongs in Parakos. The other problem Rabbi Willig raises is that the Rambam never says that the fire is uncovered here in Parak Tes. So it's not necessarily a problem of Achzara. Right? So Rabbi Willig says, Meichi Tesi, that it's a problem of Achzara. Achzara is only a problem if it's not Garav V'Katum. Maybe the fire is Garav V'Katum. Maybe you have a blech on it. And therefore it's not. I mean, to just say that something that's mavushal is usher to put back on a fire, mishum achzara, is not true. It's usher to put back on a fire unless the fire is covered. Then it's mutter to put back on a fire. So again, I wasn't so bothered by this kasha either, because typically when you talk about a fire, you talk about an uncovered fire, right? You would need to say otherwise if you meant a covered fire. And he already discussed the din of achzara in Parak Gimel. He doesn't need to rehash, you know, all the ways around the Yisra of Achzara. But typically, when you're talking about being Mevashel something, you don't think about being Mevashel on a, you know, on a blech or a Kedera al-Gabi Kedera or whatever. You know, you think about being Mevashel on an open fire. Anyway, but those are Rabbi Willig's two kashas on the Rambam. More fundamentally, though, is how is the Rambam going to read the Mishnah? Right? Meaning, the Mishnah is telling me the Halacha. If there was an Issur D'Rabbanan, the Mishnah should have alerted me to that. What did the Mishnah say? Mishnah didn't use the words Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That the Rambam could fit with. That there's Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, but there's a separate Issur Midrabbanan of Bishul Achar Bishul. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is Midaraisa, and Issur Midrabbanan of Bishul Achar Bishul. Comes along the Mishnah, though, and the Mishnah says, Kol Sheba B'chamin Me'erev Shabbos Shorin Osov B'chamin B'Shabbos. That it's mutter to do. And the Rambam tells you that it's usher to do. So how's the Rambam going to read the Mishnah? So the Beis Yosef understands that soaking in hot water is different than a regular. Yeah.
Why is this a question on Daily Talmud?
Why is what?
Why is it a question how Daily Talmud is related
to the Rambam? Just how's the Rambam going to read the Mishnah? I mean, if you say that it's also Midrabanan. Oh, meaning, right. Meaning, if you're saying that, yeah, but even so, the Mishnah says that you're allowed to do it. That you're allowed to be shorin osav b'chamin b'shabbos. Meaning, oh, so it's a problem of chazara, so it'd still be usher to put b'chamin b'shabbos, right? Still not allowed to put it into a kli rishon. Al gabei eish, at least. Right, that's the chor what it's talking about. Yeah. So the Beis Yosef seems to understand that soaking in hot water is different than regular cooking, and it's only going to be asur midrabanan. Meaning the Mishnah is telling us that if something was soaked in hot water before Shabbos, even if it didn't get cooked to machul ben drusai, you could soak it in hot water again, but you're not allowed to cook it with conventional event Shabbos. because that method of cooking is only, no, it must be shalal gabi esh. Gabi esh is definitely the conventional method of cooking. Meaning since the method of cooking is only a method that's only midrabanan, we'll have to discuss that. I mean, this classic, why, what does that mean? That's only midrabanan. I'm just thinking as I'm saying it, it doesn't make sense. How could that soaking is only a method midrabanan? So putting in a kli rishon is a method midaraisa. I mean, we'll talk about that.
Only
al gabei esh, sorry, it's best machlokas. Okay, so you're going to say that shalol al gabei esh is only midrabanan. So to redo that which was only midrabanan, right, this is why we need to discuss kli rishon kli sheni. To redo that which was only a type of bishul midrabanan, which is a kli rishon, soaking in a kli rishon, shalol al gabei esh, that the chachamim were never goes there. And that's all the Mishnah meant to say. But if you barbecued something, and then you put it back on the barbecue, so that would not be a violation of... that would be an iser of whatever, either hachzara or bishul midrabanan, depending if you hold like the Eglei Tal or not. Rav Issa Zalman in Evena Ozel, in Perichav Beis, Halacha Ches, Rav Issa Zalman, of course, was... Ravaran Kotler's father-in-law and also the author of Evna Azel. I just heard on the way in today, I was listening to Rabbi Breidowitz from Or Sameach, and he was saying that that it used to be that people who wanted to learn Kabbalah, not learn Kabbalah, people who wanted to get an understanding of the basics of Kabbalah used to go to Rav Eliyashiv's grandfather, to the Lashem, for 6 months, and just to get a basic, and they put aside everything else. And then they'd go back to their regular lives and their regular learning. And that way they felt like they just had a tefisa a little bit in Kabbalah. Rav Kook spent 6 months, by, like a lot of people, a lot of big people spent 6 months. Rav Kook obviously took a liking to it and sort of stuck with the Kabbalah. But there are a lot of people that did that. So he said, Rav Issa Zalman wanted to do that. But the Leshem had a rule that you're only allowed to, you have to come, but you're not allowed to ask any questions for 6 months. You just have to be Mekabel. You can't ask any questions. Kabbalah. That's in Mekabel. No questions. So Rav Issa Zalman couldn't do that. He just couldn't, his mind couldn't, because it's a whole different way of thinking. So you still can't approach Kabbalah like a London. So he couldn't shut off the Lundus, side of his brain. So he just didn't do it. But anyway, so Rav Issa Zalman, Ibn Azal, says that the Rambam won't allow Bishul Achar Bishul, but he will allow soaking Achar Bishul, and soaking after soaking, because soaking is only considered the Rabbanan form of Bishul to begin with. So if you did bishul, then you could soak it. If you soaked it, you could soak it again. But bishul achar bishul, in a chinami, the Rambam says, is asr. And that's what the Mishnah means. So in the Megillah Sefer, who quotes all these marmakomos, the Megillah Sefer, and Simon Gimel, we used Megillah Sefer a lot last year. Willig is a huge fan of Megillah Sefer, a lot of nice lambdas. So Megillah Sefer and Simon Gimel, Sif Chav Gimel, Sif Katan Dalid, he brings a gra that says that even if the Mishnah is not the source frame bishul achar bishul, meaning, let's say, okay, you're going to read the Mishnah some other way, that it's about soaking, that it's about something else, and it's not really like the Teisa Rush, it's about soaking to the point where it disintegrates, or something else, that it's not the source of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That doesn't mean that there's no rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Meaning, even if you can read the Mishnah in a different way, and you can say that it's not about Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, it has to be true that there's Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Why does it have to be true that there's Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? We have sugyas that we're going to learn about being machsir something to the age, about putting something back on a fire. Well, if yesh bishul achar bishul, then there's an iser. Forget about hachzara. Forget about an iser drabanan of hachzara, of putting the chalent back into the crock pot. It's bishul to put the chalent back into the crock pot if you hold yesh bishul achar bishul, says the Megillah Sefer. The only way to avoid the possibility that it's bishul is to say ein bishul achar bishul. So al karchach, we get it from somewhere that there's ein bishul achar bishul. Rav Willig wasn't convinced by that either, because it could be that that's just the heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, meaning the heter of putting it back where you only have to worry about Achzara is when it's still hot. But maybe in a chinami, if it cools down, then it's subject to Bishul Achar Bishul. Meaning, logically, one could have made that argument. Logically, one could have said, you're right, that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul, and therefore, to put something back in the crockpot, to put cold chalent back into the crockpot, bishul. Forget about achzara. It's bishul. When do dinei achzara come up? When it's still hot. So that's where you're going to say that's where there's not going to be a new Isra of Bishul.
I'm still not having heard of Beis Yosef, and even Evan Azel, what's the difference between soaking and cooking?
So you have to say that cooking is when you cook on a fire. Soaking is in the Kli Rishon. You have liquid, a Kli Rishon liquid.
The Mishnah's, where in the Mishnah would it imply that it was
Shorig? No, that's
Eish.
Exactly the Lashon. Called Shabab B'chamin.
I'm saying, why does that imply that it's Lo Agave Eish?
Because why talk about hot water? Just say Kol Shemavushal.
But how did the water come out? It's on the Eish.
It was once on the Eish, yeah. But not anymore, meaning it's hot water. B'chamin just means hot water. So it's a strange way to describe Bishul. Maybe you could argue that it's a strange way to describe Bishul. Why is it describing it in that way? Dafka, just to say it that way. Now, the Rambam in Perek Dalet Halacha Vav, in the context of Hatmana, Perek Dalet talks about Hatmana, Achzoras Perek Gimel, Hatmana's Perek Dalet, the Rambam writes, Avol Ein Manichen Kli, at the very end, Avol Ein Manichen Halacha Vav, at the end of Halacha Vav, Ein Manichen Kli, Sheyesh Bo Dover Tzonein, Al Gabe Kli Cham B'Shabbos. You can't take a kli that has something cold on top of a hot kli and put it on top of a hot kli on Shabbos. Shari molid bo chom b'Shabbos. Because you're being molded heat on Shabbos. So you can't put cold food on a hot kli on Shabbos because it's going to be molded heat on Shabbos. So Megillah Sefer thinks that this is a separate, this is a drabbanan, not a violation of Bishul. But maybe, if you understand the Rambam to be assuming that there is some type of bishul midrabanan, so maybe that could apply even to that applies even to cooked food. So maybe that's what the Rambam is referring to in Perek Dalet Halacha Vav. Meaning Rabbi Willig is very much of the mind that when the Rambam says this putter idea of something that's already cooked, that it's putter to put it back on fire, that it means that it's usher. Rabbi Willig is very much of the mind, not like the Agli Tal, that it's usher mishum Achzara, but that it's asur mishum bishul midrabana. And he says, haraya, that's clearly what the Rambam means. When the Rambam writes in Perek Dalet Halacha Vav, that to put a dover tzonein, meaning fully cooked, but now cold, al gabi kli cham, when he says that it's molid bocham, so what molid bochom? Where's the issue of molid bochom? Where does that come from? So no, molid bochom means to reheat that which was cooled down, cooked and cooled down, is an issur derabanan of bishul. So that's the fundamental machlokas, how to read the Rambam. But bottom line is, over here, is that Rov Rishonim assume, Ein Bishul, almost everybody assumes, Ein Bishul, that there is this concept of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Question is that what the Mishnah means, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? And the one Rishon that may not be assuming Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is the Rambam, who might be saying that it's true Ein Bishul Achar Bishul Mito Raisa, but midrabanan, there's still going to be some form of bishul achar bishul. But for our purposes, we assume that there is certainly some sort of a klal that ain't bishul achar bishul. And once something is cooked, you cannot possibly violate the issur d'oraisa of bishul again, at least when it comes to solid foods. What about when it comes to liquids? You cook up water, and it gets hot, and now it cools down, and you cook it up again. So is that the same thing on a d'oraisa level, ain't bishul achar bishul? So this is a major discussion that we showed him. The Rush in the third parak of Shabbos, Simen Yud, Simen Yud Al, puts a machlokas about reheating liquids and whether it's subject to Bishul Achar Bishul. So the Rush brings a raya from a sugya in Maseches Yom Tov, in Maseches Beitza, where the Gemara says that you have the following case. Yeah, ve'echad maybe as ha'ur, ve'echad maybe as ha'kedera, ve'echad maybe as ha'tavlin, it talks about like a team effort to cook. One guy brings the pot, one guy brings the fuel, one guy brings the water for the pot, one guy brings the spices, one guy brings, and then the echad megis, and another guy is megis, but they're all chayiv. Everyone is chayiv for something, which implies that even after the water was cooked in the pot, another guy comes along and is megis and stirs, he's also going to be chayiv. Apparently, they're still bishul by being megis. Well, why is there bishul by being megis? It's already been cooked. So says the Rash, because yesh bishul achar bishul. At least when you have something that's liquid, that's going to be subject to bishul. Now, what's the other way to understand that?
Because you didn't hit everything yet.
Meaning yesh bishul achar bishul, yeah, when it's still heating up, right? When it's when you're being memaher bishulo. But that doesn't necessarily mean yesh bishul achar bishul in the case where it cools down in between. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Aleph Rav Aleph in the Sugya of Hatmana explains why Hatmana is an issue. And the Gemara says, well, what's the problem of Hatmana, of insulating something? Gzeira Shami Yartia. Gzeira, that you might come to what? Yartia, that you might come to boil it up. So Rashi explains that by Hatmana, we're afraid that you're going to find that the food is still cold, and you'll come to be Mevashel on Shabbos. Rashi Dafka says Mevashel. But that's because he doesn't say mavir, mevashal. It'll be mevashal shabbos. What do you mean? We're talking about something that's fully cooked already. So how can it be that there would be a bishul issue? What about ein bishul achar bishul? So says the Rush. You see from here that this is a huge exception to the rule of ein bishul achar bishul. Says the Rush. Lamanu sha'af betavshel shenispashel benitzdanim shayich bebishul kimin sheish b'mashke. That if there's liquid in the food, if there's liquid in that pot, if there's sauce or there's liquid, then we don't apply the principle of ein bishul achar bishul. Then we're going to say yesh bishul achar bishul when there is a liquid. These are the rayas that the Rush brings. Meaning, ein achinami, kuli amalo pligi, ein bishul achar bishul by a davar yadesh. Well, when you're dealing with a davar lach, then there would be bishul daraisa if you cooked it again. Now, that's the shita of the Rush. Rabbeinu Yonah is quoted in the Ran that chafez amin aleph that they read. Rabbeinu Yonah says, if you pour water out of a tea kettle, I think this Rabbeinu Yonah, I think I once, someone once told me, I don't think I ever looked it up, it's in Shari Tshuva also, that Rabbeinu Yonah felt very passionately about this, you know? Oh, okay. But someone told me, I think that it's in Shari Tshuva also, that Rabbeinu Yonah, let's say what he says first, and we'll explain. Rabbeinu Yonah, okay, I can keep going, right? Rabbeinu Yonah said that when you pour water out of a tea kettle, right? So the tea kettle is your Kli Rishon. And you pour water out of a tea kettle, so then it becomes like a Kli Sheni, meaning a Chiddush. That the second it leaves the airspace of the Kli Rishon, it immediately has the status of a Kli Sheni. We'll have to discuss that. So if you pour it into a hot chalent pot, it's going to be bishul daraisa. So to take water from your urn and pour it directly into your chalent pot is going to be bishul daraisa, because you're pouring, it's going from a kli sheni directly into a kli rishon, and kli rishon has the ability to be mevashel. So it's going to be mevashel, it'll be daraisa. That's Rabbeinu Yonah writes. See, what about ein bishul achar bishul? So apparently, Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't think that ein bishul achar bishul applies to a davar lach. That by a davar lach, yesh bishul achar bishul. So that Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, someone told me, I don't remember if I ever saw it, I don't think I ever saw it, then Shari Tshuva, when he's giving Musar about how you have to be a better Jew and you have to do Tshuva for all your Averos, he gives this as an example of an Avera that people do. Like, don't do Averos like pouring water from your kettle into your chalent pot. Like, that was, so he was making a point of his Shita. So, but you see a lot of things from that, Rabbeinu Yonah. When we come to Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, we can talk about that. But one thing, one important thing, as far as our topic is concerned, one thing we see from the Rabbeinu Yonah is Rabbeinu Yonah holds that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul does not apply to a Davar Lach. He holds that it's going to be Bishul D'Oraisa. So Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. Great. So we have Rishonim that are Mechalek between a Davar Lach and a Davar Yavesh. That's clear, right? The Rosh is clearly Mechalek. Rabbeinu Yonah is clearly Mechalek. Any Gemara that indicates that maybe there's room to be mechalik? So Gemara in Shabbos cooked mem hay on the days tries to figure out a case where something was cooked on the fire before Shabbos, and now you put it back on the fire on Shabbos, and it continues to continue cooking it. And the Gemara said that the Targolosit Rabbi Abba, that it needs to be cooked a tremendous amount. That's why you would put it back to continue cooking it on Shabbos. What is Gemara? To give an example of a tarnagol. So maybe the Gemara is telling us the example of a tarnagol, dafka. That is, not dafka tarnagol, but dafka davar yavesh. That with the davar lach, there would be big bishul issues, so we wouldn't be able to talk about putting it back on a fire on Shabbos. You know, what's the svar between the chalim and the davar lach and the davar yavesh? What's the svar between the chalim and the davar lach and the davar yavesh? So the svar is simple, l'chora, right? That a davar lach, once it cools down, it's back to square one. A davar yavesh, once it cools down, it's not back to square one. Problem with that is, and we'll maybe come back to this also, is the Prima Gadim raises the question that it's not really true. That's true of water. It's not really true of anything else. Meaning, you make a coffee, your mevashel coffee, let's say, and it cools down. Now you have water? No, now you have iced coffee, right? Or you make a gravy, right? And it cools down. So now you have cold gravy. But you don't have, it doesn't go back to being water. Water that cools down is back to being water again. So Prima Gutman is bothered by why we would draw the line between Lach and Yavesh and not draw the line between that which loses whatever effect the Bishul had on it and that which doesn't lose whatever effect the Bishul had on it. So the Acharim say, it must be that like a low plug in the Davar Lach or something like that, you know, but it's difficult. Yeah. Now, the Beis Yosef points out that despite the fact that the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah are mechalik between Davar Lach and Davar Yavesh, yeah?
Could you still say that most liquids are so much worse? Like, let's say, like, you want a hot liquid, it's, like, so not the thing when it's cold, but, like, chicken, okay, like, it's more geschmack when it's hot, but it's still qualitatively, like...
Yeah, you could say it's sort of like that. I guess you'd have to say something like that. Someone must say something like that. Did you see anywhere? The Beis Yosef points out that there is a whole group of Rishonim, significant Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rashba, the Ran, don't ever mention the distinction between solids and liquids, and probably allow reheating liquids the same as reheating solids, because they don't the same. Meaning the given is that there's a klal ein bishul achar bishul, right? So now the question is there an exception to that klal? So yeah, Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rosh think that liquid is an exception to that klal. The Rambam, the Rashba, the Ran make no such mention of anything like that, and they assume that in Bishul Achar Bishul applies to solids and liquids the same. Now, if Rav Willig is correct about the Rambam's shita on Bishul Achar Bishul, he would actually hold a third shita that would answer both, meaning that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul both by Davar Lach and Davar Yavesh. That would be that's quite a trick to pull off. I mean, that would mean the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yonah say that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul B'Davar Yavesh, Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul B'Davar Lach. The Rambam, the Rashba, the Ran would say that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul Bein B'Davar Yavesh Bein B'Davar Lach. If Rabbi Willig is correct about the Rambam, then the Rambam would say Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul Bein B'Davar Yavesh Bein B'Davar Lach. That even B'Davar Yavesh is Bishul Achar Midrabanan, but there is a din of Bishul. Even on a Davar Yavesh. Now, the definition of reheating for liquids, Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Shin Yuchas Dalid, that it's usher to reheat liquids that have cooled off. So, as Mishnah Berurah says, what does it mean that have cooled off? Anything below Yad Soledes, right? Meaning, once, if it's still above Yad Soledes, then it wouldn't be called Bishul Achar Bishul. Once it dips below Yad Soledes, why Yad Soledes? So, those who learned Yerudei last year, Simon Kofei, Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Chom Shel Kli Rishon Shel Yatzal Ledes Bo Mevashel. We always assume Yatzal Ledes has the capacity to be Mevashel and is considered Mevushel. Now, what's the difference between liquid and solid? So again, if we assume the definition of cooking, right, let's try to dig into this a little bit. So we just said the basic, right? That the difference between liquids and solids is that liquids sometimes, at least by water, reverts back to what it was, whereas solids don't. Well, let's go back to our discussion about the definition of Bishul. If you assume that the definition of Bishul is the same for both liquids and solids, then Ein Bishul Achar Bishul should apply the same way for both liquids and solids. But if the geder of Bishul for liquids is warming, and the geder of Bishul for solids is qualitatively changing something, right, and they have two totally different kedarim of Bishul, then it's very mistaver that the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is not going to be universal, right? That there will be a difference between Bishul Achar Bishul by Davar Lach and by Davar Yavesh. If the gather of Bishul for liquids is warming, so it's very mistaver that when it loses that warmth, now you could violate Bishul again. But if the gather of Bishul for Davar Lach and Davar Yavesh were the same, then you'd have to apply it Ein Bishul Achar Bishul universally. So the Eglei Tal in Ofa Simin Yud Aleph Siv Katan Vav, the Eglei Tal has a fascinating idea. He associates liquids with the cooking of metals, because the definition of Bishul is melting. And it's undone when the metal hardens, right? Meaning, how do you mevashel a metal? You melt the metal down. And when the metal hardens, the vishal has been undone. So if you then reheat it and melt it down again, there's going to be vishal achar vishal when it comes to the metal. And he has a raya. He says as follows. There's a Gemara in Yevamos. The whole beginning of Yevamos discusses asei dochalos asei, right? So the Gemara discusses, yes, asei dochalos asei, but what about los sheish makaris? Is an asei going to be dochalos sheish makaris? Okay, good question. Yesh makaris is so significant that an asei is not going to be docha. And the Gemara says, well, there's a pasuk that teaches me, a drasha from a pasuk that teaches me, that if somebody is chayiv sreifa, the Beis Din doesn't kill him on Shabbos. I need a drasha from a pasuk to tell me that if a person is chayiv sreifa, the Beis Din doesn't kill him on Shabbos. Meaning, without a drasha from a pasuk, without l'sevar reish v'chomosh v'seichem, whatever drasha we have from a pasuk, I would have naturally assumed that if someone is chayiv sreifa, you do it, Beis Din doesn't on Shabbos. Why? Why? Why would I naturally assume that? Because I say dochalos hasei. So even though there's a los hasei, you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos, not allowed to light fires on Shabbos, not allowed to burn molten lead on Shabbos, but there's a mitzvah hasei for Beis Din to kill him. So the hasei is going to be docha the los hasei. So says Mar, but the los hasei is chil Shabbos, it's yesh v'kares. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me that we're not going to say hasei docha los hasei? Of course you're not going to say hasei docha los hasei. It's a los hasei yesh v'kares. Elamai, you see from there that naturally you'd assume that an asei is dochalos sheish makaris. As I need a pasuk tell me that no, you don't kill people on Shabbos. You don't. Beis Din does not execute people on Shabbos. So Gemara says, well, that works if you hold havara is the chalik. If you hold havara is actually karis. But what if you hold havara the lav yatzis? What if you hold havara is only a los asei, a regular los asei, not karis? There's no karis. So Gemara says, yeah, that's as far as Havara. But when you melt lead, you're not only violating Havara, what else are you violating?
Bishul.
And Bishul is for sure Kares. So therefore it's a Shtakaraya. Says the Agnetal, so just take lead that was pre-melted, meaning that was melted once before, and then Bishul Achar Bishul. Meaning all the lead that you have was purified at some point, was made at some point. So whatever lead you have, there's probably Mavushal already anyway. So same Bishal Achar Bishal, there's no Mela, there's no Isidar Isa anymore. And then the whole discussion goes up and, falls away. So Zayat Tal, you have to conclude that the definition of Bishal is when the effects are still there. And if the effects go away, then recreating that original effect is Bishal. And therefore, says the Agretal, water, at least by water, it would have the same din as lead, would have the same din as metal. That you would say, yesh bishul achar bishul, because that's the nature of it, that the effects of the bishul went away. Agretal also struggles that water should be different than sharmashki, that water should be different than soup, and it should be different than gravy, and it should be different, just like prima gadim. The Agretal and prima gadim both struggle with that issue. Good, so this is the klal. Ein bishul achar bishul, but there's a machlokas whether it applies by a davar lach or doesn't apply by a davar lach. But we said that even if yesh bishul achar bishul by davar lach, even if it doesn't apply by a davar lach, if you can say yesh bishul achar bishul by a davar lach, like the Rush says, like the Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's only once it dips below yad saladis. So this is going to be very critical. It's going to come up in a lot of places, to define what exactly Yad Soledis is. How hot is Yad Soledis? So the Gemara in Daf Mem doesn't allow heating, right? Tells us heating to Yad Soledis is a violation of Bishul. So the Gemara asks, okay, how do you know what temperature Yad Soledis is? How can you check what's Yad Soledis? So Rashi explains that the Gemara is asking that all people have different sensitivities. And that's why it's impossible to do an experiment on Yad Soledis. So the Gemara answers, okay, so you can't do an experiment by putting your hand in, because your hand, you know, if I remember when we first bought, when we got a new oven in our kitchen a few years ago, so my wife discovered that if you leave the lights on in the oven, fire off, lights on in the oven is warm enough to warm up food. So she asked, instead of using warming drawer or anything like that and relying on whatever, can you just put it in the oven? when the lights are on in the oven. The oven's off, the fire's off, just the lights are on in the oven, because you put food in the oven that way to warm it up for Shabbos. So I said, is it Yatzel Hadas? So she said, no, it's definitely not Yatzel Hadas. So I said, okay, it's not Yatzel Hadas, and there's no Shaila. You can put something in the oven when it's not Yatzel Hadas. And for like months, we did it. And then one Shabbos, I put my hand on the thing, and I need to expect heat, and I burnt my hand, because I have a man hand, she has a woman hand, and women can I don't know, they could touch fire and not feel it. They're like superpowers that they have. So it's so I think that's Yatzel. So it's very hard to do a test of Yatzel at this. So Gemara says, okay, Kresel Shaltina Kmitfei Spach. No problem. All you need is a baby, and pour the water on the baby, and see if the baby gets scalded, and that would be the definition of Yatzel. Yeah, I don't think the Gemara is recommending that you try it, but that's the gather. Okay, so what does that mean for us? Like temperatures, degrees. The Gemara can describe things in degrees. So how hot is Yatzel Edus? I was just actually dealing with this. There was a there's something called the Shabbos Keeper from Zman Technologies. Are you familiar with this? Nobody? I spoke to them about it. Is anyone else familiar with this? You know, there's this thing. They first came out with refrigerator things that I have it in my house that they developed. The OU and GE worked together to develop this thing for GE refrigerators that you plug this thing in, you program where you are in the world. So, I mean, it has like, I don't know, 50 cities or 150 cities to choose from. So it does not yet have North Woodmere, but it has Far Rockaway, right? So I went Far Rockaway. But you know, and based on that, it automatically for the next 30 years will turn your fridge onto Shabbos mode 2 hours before Shabbos, and turn it back into regular mode like an hour after Shabbos, and Yontif. It knows when every Shabbos and Yontif is going to be, and you'll never have to remember to do it. It does it for you automatically. It also leaves the lights on in your fridge for instead of the lights being off the whole time, the lights are on, but a little bit dimmer so that you can realize, and obviously it shuts off the panel, it does all those things, and all the other things that it does to enable opening the freezer without worrying about coils for the automatic defrost system. There are a lot of things. Modern refrigerators are basically computers and, you know, have a lot of different things going on. You know, old-fashioned refrigerators are very different. Old-fashioned refrigerators, you know, is the motor going to run? Is not going to? That was your whole shaila, right? The light and the motor. Modern refrigerators have like 1,000 different things going on because there's computers going on. You know, so much of what halacha technology field is today is about taking our modern appliances and bringing it back to become like old appliances. I was telling this, Rabbi Berman called me the other day, and said that he was talking to a big kavir. It's a job. and he said that this fellow is an older fellow, and he's looking for something to do with his money. And he said that, I don't know how religious the fellow is, but he said that on Rosh Hashanah he couldn't go to shul, and he was very distressed. And his aide said, no problem, I'll figure it out for you. And he went into the next room for a minute and wheeled him into the other room, and on his computer he was able to see the entire services of whatever conservative synagogue that, you know, was having services, and they had a great chazan or whatever. And so he called Rabbi Berman. He said, if you can get rabbis in YU to like come up with like a halachic way to do that, you know, you could have all the money. So so he's like he said, my first thought is like, how do I get off the phone with this person? like you know, the kinds of rabbis we have here can't really be bought like that. So so then he said, but wait, maybe if we can come up with something that we can do technology-based, not about that, not his thing, but maybe there's something else we could be working on in halacha and technology that we could start something, do something. So he was asking me for ideas. Like, well, so I said, as far as I know, everything that's done in halacha and technology is working back, you know, it's not developing technology, it's undeveloping technology. It's taking, like, most of what we're doing is we're taking new ovens, trying to turn them into the, like, old ovens with the pilot lights that you find in Washington Heights. You know, like, they're taking the new refrigerators and turn them into old. There's very little of actually developing new technology, because technology is the problem. We're trying to undo it. But anyway, so Shabbos Keeper came up with a thing for the oven also. So I got an email from Rabbi Tani Schwartz, who's a Rabbi in Elizabeth. He's a classmate of, we were together in Rav Shechter's here for a few years. So Rabbi Schwartz said, showed me a letter that was signed by Rav Shechter and Rabbi Ganak that said that if you have the Shabbos keeper on your oven, you may even be allowed to put food in your oven on Shabbos to warm it up. So I was like, he said, what's that about? Like, why would that not be a problem to put food in your oven to warm it up? So I said, all right, I got to ask Rav Shechter. His name is on it. So I on the way into yeshiva that day, I saw Rabbi Willig first. So I showed him the letter. He said it must be that it's below Yatzaladas, because below Yatzaladas is nothing. You have no problems if it's below Yatzaladas. So I called up Zman Technologies. I said, how hot is it? They said about 225. So that's above Yatzaladas, right? Maybe below my wife's Yatzaladas, but that's above human Yatzaladas. So I asked Rav Shechter, what's the story? He said, this doesn't even look familiar to me. he didn't remember the whole letter. I said, did Rebbe sign it? He said, that looks like my signature. I don't know, but we're still figuring it out. Because then apparently he told Rabbi Willig afterwards that he does think that it's true. I don't know. Okay, hang on. We'll get to that. Sorry, but all that is just to say that we have to define Yatzaladas, because when something is below Yatzaladas, there are a lot of differences. A lot of things are going to change when something is below Yatzaladas. So we're out of time. Okay, so I guess right. Are we out of time? Time flies because attendance took like 20 minutes and I came late. All right, so
we have 7 minutes.
Oh, I get confused. Okay, we have 7 minutes. Yeah. Okay. Good. I don't know. I'm still. Oh, because yesterday was on a 15, not on a 20, right? Okay, I got to change the time of Sunday Shiur by 5 minutes, so I won't get confused. Okay, so let's talk Yatzaladas very quickly for 7 minutes. So the Kresh Tino Tnichbeis is not exactly a helpful Hagdara. So Shmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman that it's at least 45 degrees Celsius, which is 113 degrees Fahrenheit. Very, very, that's very little. But that can't be less than that. And how did Shlomo Zalman get that? Because the Gemara in Chulin says that the Beis HaShechita is Tzonim. Now, when you shecht an animal, the body temperature of the animal is Tzonim. So if you take the animal with the hottest body temperature and you measure what it is, you'll know that that number has to be below Yatzaladas, because that number has to be Tzonim. And the goose that has the hottest body temperature is 45 degrees Celsius. So mainly you know that 45 degrees Celsius is still not Yatzaladas, because halachically it has the status of Tzonim. Right. So that's the bottom end of what Yatzaladas could be. Rav Shlomo Zalman says with such a raya, 113 degrees. Rabbi Eider said that Rabbi Eider was the first one to write Hilchos Shabbos in English with Hebrew footnotes, and he did a very nice job. Rabbi Eider is I think a musmach of our yeshiva, definitely a graduate of our yeshiva, but I think a musmach of our yeshiva. Then he became a big posek in Lakewood. So Rabbi Eider said that Rav Moshe and Rav Aaron, he was close to Rav Aaron Kotler, arrived at 110 and 120 respectively by doing experiments. Now, I don't know how they did an experiment. I mean, you'd have to test a lot of people. Everyone feels things differently. You'd have to test different sensitivities. So Rav Moshe writes, Rav Moshe suggests that on the high end, it's Yatzaladas is as high as 160. Rav Tzion Abba Shaul says it might be as high as 180. Why? Because the Rashban Shabbos Daf Mem says that people wouldn't drink or bathe in Yatzaladas water. And Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul says people sip tea up until 180 degrees. So must be that still might not be Yatzaladas up until 180 degrees. So you got to be machmir up until 180 is Yatzaladas. Pashtus is not that way, right? Pashtus is what your Yatzaladas means, what you would instinctively draw back from, is very different than what you would drink. What you would drink when you're trying to have a hot drink, Rabbi Sablowski said, he was once Shabbos morning, he was making himself a tea, and as he was pouring the water from the urn, the a drop hit his hand, shot up and hit his hand, and he drew his hand back because it hurt, and then he drank the tea. Meaning, so he said it was worth burning my hand because I was able to show that Yatzaladas is different than the temperature for drinking. So the Piskei Tshuvas writes that I think it's they have to say this way, that when the Rashba says that people don't drink something that's yatzal edus, he means they don't down it, they don't drink it straight. I mean, but you would drink something that's yatzal edus if you're sipping it very, very slowly. That's all it means, that you just wouldn't down it. So, lahalacha, the average person can tolerate about 113 degrees in their shower, which is exactly Rav Shlomo Zalman's geder of yatzal edus. New York City code requires landlords to provide hot water between 115 and 120 degrees. Otherwise, they're not providing hot enough water. But they're not supposed to provide water that's hotter than 120 degrees, because then people are going to burn themselves. And think about it. If in a typical building in New York City, you're supposed to have water that's between 115 and 120 degrees, when you take a shower, do you turn on some of the cold water also? Always, right? You always turn on a little bit of the cold water. The sense that you get is that yatzal edus is not really that hot. That it's really, you know, the Rav Shlomo Zalman is right in the ballpark. In Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Yud Ches, if you dali, says you can't put water near a heat source if eventually you can get the yatzal edus. And Mishavur says because you might forget about it and cook to that point. But again, in terms of the gedder of yatzal edus, so I think the practice is to be machmir like Rav Meisha, anywhere between 110 and 160 to be machmir in both directions. But la'amito shaldavar, it's very likely that yatzal edus is much closer to the bottom end of that spectrum than it is to the top end of that spectrum. So l'chumra we may assume both, but la'amito shaldavar is probably closer to the bottom end of that spectrum. Rabbi Ribiat has a kula to turn on water, hot water in an apartment building, because intake valve on a boiler is no larger than a single faucet. Meaning, if there's one other person in the building that has hot water on, the boiler is letting hot water out and at the same time letting new cold water come in. Problem with turning on hot water is that you're letting cold water come into the boiler, which is now cooking, right? And it's getting to the yatzal edus. So if really I suggest, yeah, but the intake valve on the boiler, it only allows, is only so thick, so it's going to allow a certain amount of water in. So if one guy already has his hot water on in the building, so the intake valve is already letting water in. When you turn on your hot water, it's the valve is not allowing more water in, it's just going to stay open for longer. But in the moment that you're doing that, nothing is happening, because it's already letting cold water in. So that's the heter that they have for these buildings. He says it's a suffix psik reshe, because you don't know that someone else has the hot water on in the building at the time, but a suffix psik reshe, taz and shin taz zayin, says has a din of dov shein miskavin. So Rabbi Willard doesn't like that heter at all about apartment buildings, because he says, for a number of reasons, he says, first of all, he doesn't think the metzius is correct. He says it could be that the intake valve is bigger. He said he spoke to his own plumbers, even though Rabbi Ribiat spoke to his plumbers. Rabbi Willard spoke to, every rabbi has a team of plumbers, obviously. So Rabbi Willard spoke to his plumbers, and the intake valve is could be much bigger. He says also, who says it's the other, even if the other guy does have hot water on, who says that it's his hot water faucet that's on that's causing the water to come in right now? Maybe it's my hot water that's on that's causing the water to come in right now. You can't separate that out and say, oh, it's his fault, it's not my fault. It could be that it's my water. Also, it relies on the idea that that's something that's going to... Rabbi Willard wasn't sure that it depends on who turns it on first, because it's just more water that's coming out, and we're both getting hot water, so it's more water that's coming out, and as more water comes out, more water comes in. So it's lav davka that who turns on first. That's what he thought. He also sort of relies on the shulta givorah. Okay, we're not going to. Rabbi Willard has a lot of problems with that kula. All right, Bez Hashem, tomorrow I want, not tomorrow, tomorrow's Tuesday. But after that, on Wednesday, we'll talk about Ein Bishul Achar Bishul by food that's partially cooked, that's Machul Ben Zisai, and then we'll get to the Ramah's compromise when it comes to liquid, and then we'll have to define what's a liquid and what's a solid. Okay, everybody have a great day.